Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
And this morning on the show, we have got PhD candidate Tamlyn Jeffries, who is chatting about fish and if there is a way we can protect biodiversity while also continuing to eat fish as a population. Kia ora, Tamlyn. How are you this morning?
Kia ora. How are you doing? Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Yeah, very well. How are things your end?
Looking good up here. This is really interesting research, and it feels very topical considering there's a lot more conversation happening about the type of food we eat when it comes to climate change, biodiversity, all of these sort of contemporary environmental issues. How did you get into this area of research?
Yeah, totally. It seems like pretty novel and current at the moment. Well, I guess I've always been interested in the sea. I'm from the UK originally. So it was a bit of a colder ocean over there, but I always maintained an interest in it, and I've always found marine life really interesting, and I've also always loved my mum's fish pie and fish and chips, you know, being from a small fishing town myself. So a couple of years ago, I decided to do a master's at the University of York, which was in marine environmental management, and when I was there, I learned that marine reserves and protected areas can actually benefit fishing by preserving fish stocks and then the fish sort of spill over into nearby areas. So you kind of get like a, it's like having money in a savings account where you get interest payments from having it, you know, for fishing. So I learned they're really important, but then they're also underappreciated in fisheries management. And when you're trying to protect the oceans, a lot of people in the fishing industry don't want reserves or protected areas because they think it's going to encroach on fishing.
So
I just sort of got into it that way and realized that they were this really useful tool that's not really used enough, and thought, well, maybe I could come up with a plan of how to use them to benefit all the amazing marine life, but not encroach too much on those key fishing grounds.
So how do you strike that balance? Because it does seem like a lot of it is about education and conversation. How do you kind of go about approaching this?
Yeah, it's difficult. I think there's a slow change in people's minds. Like, people are seeing what's happening to the oceans and remembering what it was like when they were little and how many more fish there were and you know, how much healthier the seas were. But I think it's about showing people that you can achieve, you can keep fishing, and we can also protect, you know, really important areas in our oceans. It doesn't need to be this like for and against sort of argument, if you like. So what I did was look at those key fishing grounds and how much we're catching there, and then look to protect other areas away from those that would be really good for like whales, dolphins, seabirds, fish, so that you didn't have to have this sort of head-to-head, if you like.
Well, that's interesting though, because I think when we hear about fisheries in New Zealand, quite often in the news, it's pretty negative stories, at least in the last few years, it certainly has been. How do we, I guess, have these conversations, and is the public part of this as well? Is this something that we are hearing about more broadly in the news yet, or in the media here in New Zealand, or are we not quite at that stage?
I think they could do a lot more to highlight some of the issues. Like, it seems peculiar to me that less than 1% of, you know, New Zealand waters are in marine reserves. I think that's something that really needs to be covered a bit more. And you know, there was a survey a few years ago, and there is a lot of public support for increasing marine protection. But it's just whether the, you know, the higher ups will do that. And there's also a lot of really good projects that are taking off, and a lot more sort of impetus building within communities to protect areas in their own backyard. So there was a recent proposal to protect a part of Waiheke Island, and that had really great support for it as well. And there's also been marine protection that's been implemented in the Bay of Islands by, you know, some really good groups there working with different communities to look at areas where they want to restore the habitat and restore the fish populations. So I think it's something that's building, but yeah, hopefully, you know, getting more exposure and doing more research, we'll get it more in the public eye.
When it comes to fisheries themselves, is it as simple as big fisheries bad, small fisheries good? Does it kind of equate to that, or is it more nuanced? What's the deal with actual fisheries in this conversation?
Yeah, it's a bit of a mixture. So there's, if you look at high seas fisheries, so they're those fisheries that operate outside national waters. They only catch about 2.5% of what we actually catch, you know, right. fish globally.
Yeah.
So it's really low. But those fisheries are generally bigger vessels, yep. and they burn a lot more fuel, so they're not good for climate. And also, they're really heavily subsidized. So they actually, the profitability is really low on those high seas fisheries. But, you know, there's definitely a good cause for having big fishing boats and big industry going out in areas that aren't as remote, because it's a really effective way of catching fish if you have a big net and you've got a big fish stock that's right there in the ocean. You can scoop it all up, so it is effective. But generally, I think something that plays out is that some of the small scale fisheries, they have more of a vested interest in sustainability than perhaps some of the bigger ones, because they haven't quite got the money, they can't fish as far. And unfortunately, those are the ones that are having to fish further and further to catch you know, good amounts of fish. So, yeah, I think it's about improving generally the management of fisheries so that we can make them more sustainable rather than hope that answers your question.
No, it totally does. Yeah, it totally does. I mean, obviously another part of this as well is that, you know, fish don't exist on their own in the ecosystem. Protecting fish protects other species as well. And I see that you've looked a little bit sort of into how seabirds are affected by this too. Could you talk a tiny bit to that, please?
Yeah, sure. So we released a paper and it looked at three key things. So it was looking at where we catch the most fish, so those really important fishing grounds, and then it was balancing that against where threatened species are, so those that might become extinct, and also where the most biodiversity is, so where marine life is most vibrant and amazing in our oceans. And we came up with this map of areas where you'd protect, but what is really important to do is to protect all areas of biodiversity, because when you have these food webs and all these different interactions between different creatures and habitats, that ultimately supports fisheries and supports carbon sequestration in our oceans, and it's really good for overall human health. So yeah, you know, we really need to be looking at how we can protect the small stuff and the big stuff. And with New Zealand being a centre of, you know, seabird diversity globally, I think that's something that's really relevant here. And
absolutely.
Yeah, looking at how we can reduce bycatch for seabirds and other marine mammals, yeah, would be a really good step forward.
Have you been able to get out into the field while you've been doing this research? Have you been able to go visit any of these spots? Because it's quite, beautiful places that you're sort of talking about here. Have you been able to sneak out and visit some?
Oh, it's been gorgeous. I've been around the Gulf a bit and up to Lee as well. And when I was in the Gulf, we saw about, I don't know if it's common here because I'm from the UK again, but we saw a pod of like 300 dolphins. I couldn't believe it.
I don't think a lot of people see that often.
It was insane.
Yeah,
it was like being in Blue Planet, like being in a documentary or something. Suddenly the ocean just started moving. I was like, well, this is what I'm here for. This is unbelievable. Just, you know, having a nosy. I was out at Waiheke a few months ago doing a snorkel and, you know, just being in and around the kelp. You know, sadly, there was a lot of kinna there was a lot less kelp than I was hoping.
Yep.
But there was still some cool fish, and, you know, sometimes it's the small stuff that catches your eye as well, like little sort of pipefish things that are just hidden in the reeds and whatnot. Yeah, so, yeah, I think I've seen some good stuff. I'm yet to see any orca. I'd love to see orca.
Nice.
Yeah, and hopefully I'll do some more field work later on.
Oh, Tamlin, thank you so much for talking to us about your research. It sounds really interesting, very important as well, particularly for here in Aotearoa. We appreciate your time this morning. Have a great rest of your day.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, you too.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn. Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university. It's